God is good, eh? All the time. Jehovah Jireh, He's our provider. Yeah. Wow, it's good to be back here. I was in PE last week, and I must say, everything is so slow there. No, seriously. I only realized this because we're leaving the airport, and, you know, similar to Centurion Mall, you put your ticket in, the boom gate opens automatically. But in PE, you put the ticket, and we literally had a 10-second conversation before the thing opened. That's how slow things are in PE. And so if I'm a bit slow today, please understand why. I still have that flavor in me. So I'd like to tell a quick story talking about going places slowly. There's this plane that was flying, and the engine burnt out, one of the engines. And so the pilot decided that, wait, guys, we need to do something. We need to load shed. We need to let some people off the plane, right? We need to kick them off. But because he was a Christian pilot, he decided he wanted to be fair. So he was going to go alphabetically. So first he decided, okay, he started with A, so he decided, let's kick all the Afrikaners out. And so they kicked all the Afrikaners out, and he realized that, look, it's still not working. We still need to load shed. So he went to B, and he said, all the British and all the black people, please go out. And still, he had to load shed. So he went to C, and he told all the coloreds to go out. And so he realized that, no, man, there's still too many Indians on this plane. And I is still at the back there. So he went back to B, and he said, all the biryani eaters, please go out. But then it's not done. One Indian family didn't jump out. And so the son asked his father, Daddy, why aren't we jumping out the plane? He said, my son, Mr. Naidu, today we are not Indians. We are Zulus. So they'll be the last people to jump out. Well, we are not all Zulus here today, but we are children of God. Amen. And I say we because often when we talk about the church, we assume that the church is a building. But the church is actually a people. So today when I refer to we, I am talking about all of us. So you are free to take everything I say personally, because everything I say, I'm talking about you and you and you. Because we are the church, right? So last week, Uncle David shared and preached on the importance of belonging in a church. But today I'd like to extend that discussion a bit further, and I'd like to talk about what church you should actually belong in, the healthy church, and what it looks like. So my teaching today is based off 2 Acts verses 42 to 47, and this is what it reads. So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as they had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to them, to their number daily, as they were being saved. So this text gives us a clear picture, of what a healthy church looks like. And it is from this text that we will dissect four particular pillars that make a church healthy. That being biblical truth, godly use of finance, spiritual activity, and social involvement. So let's dissect it. Let's start with biblical truth. Now, the first thing I would like to mention is the fact that the enemy is not stupid. The devil is not stupid. Why I say this is because he has helped and influenced a system in the world that is all about self. Self-gratification, self-love, self-importance, where it's all about feeling good rather than being effective. And as a result, there are several unbiblical practices that have found their way in the church today. One of these is the seeker-friendly practice. Let me explain what it is. This is when a church takes the truth of Scripture and dilutes it to a point of heresy just so they can attract people into their church. And because the human inclination is more inclined to go for comfort rather than truth, which is often, in often cases, uncomfortable, these people would rather go to such a church or such an environment. In this type of church and environment, God is not the main attraction. Instead, they have substituted God with something they think is better, and that is called the vibe. Anybody know the vibe? About how you feel? And as a consequence, people no longer go to church to learn about God and the truth. They go to church for the entertainment of it all and how it made them feel. One of the most common ideologies you would find in such a church is the fact that they will say, well, God loves you and accepts you just the way you are. And that's true, right? But that's half a truth, because we know that God loves us and accepts us, but when we accept him, we get transformed. We are no longer the same. So they practice the art of spin, half a truth. I also practiced this art once upon a time because my grandmother told me, listen, Ron, always obey what Jesus says in Scripture. And remember that alcohol is your enemy. So I agreed. I said, you know what? I agree with you. A few months later, she came home and she caught me having a young whiskey. And she said to me, but why are you drinking? I told you alcohol is your enemy. But I said, but Granny, Jesus says love your enemies. Don't use that now, huh? Love your enemies. But that's half a truth, because Jesus was not talking about alcohol. He was talking about people. Jesus wouldn't say love the devil. He says resist him. In the same way, Jesus accepts us the way we are, but we are transformed. And unfortunately, because of this practice, you'll find that in these environments, these church environments, people do not actually know the Word of God. But then we have to ask ourselves the question, what does a healthy church look like then? Well, the first thing I want to say is, you know the church is healthy when God is the vibe, not the vibe becomes God. When people ask you, how was church? What did God do? Who did he heal? That's when it's healthy. Not when they ask you, how did you feel during the worship? How were the lights? Were the projectors working? If that's your concern, then I'm concerned for you. In a healthy church, God is the vibe. You see, a healthy church puts business before pleasure, meaning it puts God's word as priority above creating a vibe. And it anchors itself on biblical truths. Truth that you must repent. Repent meaning a change of mind, a change of heart, not just saying sorry. It teaches the truth independent of how you feel. Because God does not change his word depending on how you feel. In fact, in Romans 12, verse 2, this is what Paul says. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So a healthy church does not conform to earthly standards. We conform to the standards God has put for us. Amen. The other thing about a healthy church is that a healthy church holds itself accountable. Accountability is a very important thing. And let's read 1 Corinthians 5 verses 1 to 2. And this is what it says. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and of a kind that does not occur even amongst the pagans. A man has his father's wife, and you are proud. Shouldn't you rather have been filled with grief and have put out of your fellowship the man who did this? So the church was not holding this guy accountable. And it carries on. But now I'm writing to you that you must not associate with anyone who calls himself a brother, but is actually sexually immoral or greedy, an idolater or a slanderer, a drunkard or a swindler. With such a man, do not even eat. What business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Are you not to judge those inside? God will judge those outside. Expel the wicked man from among you. Paul is clear on the fact that as a church, we have to be accountable to each other. There has to be accountability. Otherwise, the church will begin to rot from the inside. Talking about accountability, a church has to hold everybody accountable, including its leaders. You know, back in the 60s, I was in the 80s, so I had to move back. Back in my day, I was once taken off the worship team because as a young man, I had done some things that automatically disqualified me from being part of the worship team. And the worship leader at the time held me accountable and came to me and confronted me about these things. And as a result, he took me off the worship team for a period of time. Now, this was very important because if he had not done that, I would not have grown in character and I would not have been the worship leader I am today. He held me accountable. And secondly, if I was not taken off the team at the time, the integrity of the worship team would have been degraded. So it doesn't matter who you are. You have to be held accountable. Now, some people might come and say to you, well, how dare you tell me that I'm wrong? What right do you have? And you can respond to them by saying, well, how dare I disobey God and tell you that you're right? So I should disobey God and obey you? Why is that? Because a healthy church fears God more than it fears people. And yes, I'm talking to you. Take it personally. Do you fear God more than you fear people? Or is it the other way around? And why is that? Because we understand that God's opinion of the church is more important than any person's opinion of the church. Oh, well, your church doesn't do this, it doesn't do that. Well, if God likes that church, we don't care because we're not here for the vibe. We're here for God. Let's look at the next pillar, which is financial activity. And some people are putting their wallets away. You know, money is a very good indicator and a measure that we can use to estimate a church's health, because where the money is, so too is the heart. So how a church uses its finances tells us and paints a picture of where they are, where the heart is. And another ungodly practice that has permeated in the church is the practice of the prosperity gospel. And I want to say that that type of gospel or teaching or practice can render any church unhealthy. Why? Because the basis of that teaching is give tithes, give offerings so that you can get more, so that you can get rich and accumulate wealth. And the last time I checked, that is not biblical. So anything that is not biblical is not godly, despite what people may feel or think. In this type of environment, people often go to restaurants while the person that was sitting right next to them goes hungry. And trust me, there is no honor in doing that. I'm going to eat steak, as we said, and the person next to you is just eating scones. I mean, come on. But there's no honor in that. But that is often what happens in this type of environment where everything is fueled by greed, where people give huge sums of money only so that they can get an interest on their return. But again, what does a healthy church look like? Let's look at Acts 4 verses 32 to 35, and this is what it says. So all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them, for from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put them at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to anyone who had need. That's what a healthy church looks like. Where no one has need because the church takes care of its own. See, they did not give because they were expecting a return from these people. They gave because they loved each other. In a healthy church, no member should go hungry while the other members go eat caviar. In a healthy church, no person should be barefoot when the other members are wearing 7,000 rand sneakers. Because a healthy church takes care of its own. No one had need. I'm not being dramatic, it's in Scripture. You see, a healthy church understands that money is a resource and Jesus is the head of resources. So what Jesus says goes. So what is the head of resources saying? What is he saying? Well, let's look at Matthew 25 verses 31 to 46. Quite long, but go on this journey with me because I want you to get the full picture. So, when the Son of Man comes in glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people from one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" Then the king will reply and say this, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick, and in prison, and you did not look after me? And they will also answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? Then he will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of these, one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment. But the righteous to eternal life. This is what the head of resources says. If you do not take care of the needy that I've brought to you, you do not know me. Depart from me. You see, the scripture shows us that, you know, the people did all their religious duties, the Christianese. They went to church, they prayed, they followed all the rules, they took communion. They did all the Christianese things, but they did not show mercy, they did not show love, they did not show justice to the people that God brought to them. And that is why God said, depart from me, you do not know me. Because we must understand, we too were once in need, and what did God do? He sent his Son to fulfill our needs. That is the character of God. And if we are children of God and don't copy his character, then who are we really? There's a saying that says, you know, put your money where your mouth is. But I say that a healthy church puts its money where God's heart is. That's how you know a church is using its finances correctly. Let's talk about the next pillar, which is spiritual activity. Again, there's another practice that has permeated in the church. Very deadly, and I say deadly because the consequences are so severe. And this practice is the ideology or thinking that, you know, the Holy Spirit no longer works in the church. God is no longer powerful. You know, all the miracles, everything God did is just in the Bible. Let's be realistic, it doesn't happen today. That's the belief system. And because of that, you find certain church environments turning to other things to try and replace God, like hype. For example, like trickery, like manipulating people's emotions. Let me give you some examples. Have you ever been pushed down to the floor? And you know it wasn't the Holy Spirit who did that. That is not God's work. That's just the work of gravity. We all know that. Okay? Have you ever been hyped up during worship? Not because the Holy Spirit is working, but just because there's lights moving everywhere and the sound is amazing, but you're actually not connecting to God. You know, there's a pastor, I found out, this is a true story, this pastor put a taser in his hand right there. And when he would pray for people, you'd see them shake and fall, you know. Pardon me, I got so excited there. And they would fall, and eventually they caught him. And I really feel for those people, because when they questioned him and said, why are you doing this? He said, no, I just want to give these people a shocking experience. That was very shocking to me. Now, the point I'm trying to make is that a church operating without the Holy Spirit is a dead church. Okay? A healthy church does not rely on human effort. It relies on the power of the Holy Spirit alone. That is why in a healthy church where the Holy Spirit is moving, you don't fall because someone pushed you. You fall because God decided he's going to touch you. In a healthy church, no one is paid to claim that there was a miracle. Miracles happen for free. There are no shocking experiences. And the reason I said, you know, maybe I shouldn't preach is because Auntie Bongi is a testament to that. You heard what she said today? That was the Holy Spirit moving. No one paid her to say that today. Last week, when Uncle David was preaching, before he preached, he called for a corporate prayer for anyone who had need for prayer. And one of our pastors, Pastor Tony Farrell, got healed. His shoulder got healed. Now, the reason I bring the story to you is because no one pushed him. No one paid him. There was no hype. God did the work. So what I'm trying to say is that the Holy Spirit still works today. Amen? And we need to believe that and push into that and for that. So when you see people falling, prophesying, demons being cast out, don't think it's weird. Don't think that I shouldn't be coming to church. It's not weird. It's healthy. It's how it's supposed to be. We're not here to be perfect. We're here to be ministered to by God. Now, I'm not going back to that church. That lady was screaming. Well, what do you want? Do you want the hype instead? The Holy Spirit working is not weird. It's healthy. Next thing is the social activity. Let's look at social activity. This is the next pillar. And the first thing I want to say is that, you know, in John 13, verses 34 to 35, this is what it says. Pardon me. Yes, as I've loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Scripture's not there, but this is what the Word of God says. By your love for each other, people will know. Right? Jesus did not say, by the way you love the church service. He did not say, by the way you love the church programs. He did not say, by the way you love the scones after the service. Don't feel bad, you can still have some after this, okay? But he didn't say that. He said what? By the way you love one another. Now my question is, and take it personally, do you love one another? Yes? Are you sure? So if I say I'm coming for lunch, is it also yes? Okay, if you love each other, then here's the next thing I want to say. You cannot love a person without having a relationship with them. You cannot love from far. You can't see someone on Sunday and say, hi brother, be blessed, I love you. Done. You need to have a relationship. And that's what God is calling us to have relationships with one another. And this is very crucial, because often in churches, people just come, say the Christianese, and leave. But God wants us to develop intimate relationships with one another, and that's the only way we'll love each other. Because the reality is that in an unhealthy church, every person is a number. But in a healthy church, everyone is a brother and sister. You're not a number. You're a brother and sister. And this is very crucial, because this is how Jesus summarized the law. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Then he says, second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment greater than these. So again, I ask, do you love one another? And this is so important, because I'd like to share a quick story. There's a particular lady who visited our church. and she will remain anonymous at this time, but she visited the church, and the next week she came again, and the following week she came again, and after that she came again, and eventually she joined the church and became a member. When asked why, she said that it was the relationships we have with each other that attracted her and kept her here. So give a round of applause to yourself. At least you have one thing right. But it was the relationships we have in this church, the community vibe we have in this church that kept her. But ultimately, it was not just what she saw, it was what she experienced, the love that was shown back to her. Again, it was not the worship, it was not the scones, it was not the projector, it was not the lights, how we look, how we dress. It was the authenticity, the love between each other that brought her and kept her. You see, the one thing we must remember as a church community is the fact that the world doesn't want to be part of something that is not different to itself. The world does not want to be part of something that is not different to itself. So if we are not loving each other better than the world is loving themselves, then why should people join our church? If the Holy Spirit is not working in this church, then why should people join the church? If there are no moral standards in the church, then why should people join the church? And you might be asking yourself the question, well, Ron, why is it our problem? Why do we have to bear this responsibility? Well, because I'd like to mention something very important. You see, God is quite smart. He brings the problem to the solution. You understand what I'm saying? The church has always been the solution to the world's problems. It has never changed. You read scripture, Jesus did not say, I will build a different society that will do this. He said, I will build my church, and not even the gates of Hades will stand against it. Why? Because God brings the problem to the solution, and we are the solution. So it is our problem. We do have to be accountable. We do have to seek the Holy Spirit. We do have to love each other. And ultimately, we also have to take care of those in need. Because only a healthy church will stand, and even the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. That is the church God prophesied about, and He will fulfill His word. The only question is, will you be a part of it or will you not? But it will happen. As we always say, you have freedom of choice, but you never have freedom of consequences. So choose wisely. But look, the proof is in the pudding. Do not be depressed. Look at the fruit, because with all the testimonies I've shared, we can see that this church community, we are on the right track. We are getting somewhere. People see the love we have for each other. We have outreach programs, right? We do love it when the Holy Spirit works in our midst. So we are on the right trajectory. So give yourselves a round of applause for that. There's some good, but there's still more to be done. Because there's still more people out there in the community that need to experience God. There's still more people that need to hear the gospel. There's still more people that need to get healed. So we're on the right trajectory, but we are still becoming. Do you understand what I'm saying? And we need to understand that this is our responsibility, to remain healthy so that we can impact our communities and ultimately impact our nation. So how then do we continue to be a healthy church? Well, firstly, join a small group. Just some advice. join a small group because that's where you can easily form relationships. It's very important. It's not so much about the program. It's about the relationships you build with one another. Secondly, participate in our outreach programs, both in the church and at a personal capacity. Do what you got to do, okay? Thirdly, read the Word. Read the Word of God so that you will not be deceived. Do not rely on a person on a pulpit to tell you. Read the Word of God for yourself so that God can speak to you personally. And lastly, spend time in prayer. Because it is when we pray that things happen. You heard what was said today here. They prayed for it. Auntie Bonnie got healed. They prayed for it. Uncle Tony got healed. They prayed for it. So we need to pray for the Holy Spirit to work. Could I please have the worship team up here? You know, it is very clear to me that God wants to move in our church. He's already started. You know, reading the Word, that you can do when you get home. Feeding the poor, that you can do at another time, later. Building relationships, that can be done afterwards, during lunch. But one thing that can be done now is the Holy Spirit working in you. So I believe the Holy Spirit wants to touch people today. And I do not want fear or doubt to stop you from experiencing God's power. So could I please have the prayer ministers up here in the front? Prayer ministers, please come forward. Whatever need you have at this moment, God wants to attend to that. And there will be no pushing, no trickery, just the power of the Holy Spirit. Because our God lives. Amen? So whatever need you have, we're going to play a song and I'm going to pray for us. But I want you to come forward and come for prayer. Because it's when we pray that God listens and God moves. Forget about the person next to you. Or whatever thoughts that are telling you, don't go, just go home. No. Our God is alive and He works. So Father, I thank You that You are building a healthy church that will stand in this nation, that will impact this community, that will impact our country, that will affect our young people, Father, a church that is accountable, that obeys You and bows down to You alone. We thank You for what You're doing, Father. And Holy Spirit, I pray that You bring Your presence here today, that You touch Your people right now, Father. You know their needs more than I do. And Father, I pray that You touch them in places they wouldn't even tell anyone. Father, You know what they need today in this moment. So I pray that You fulfill that need, God. Amen.